Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. It is Saturday, January the 2nd, 2021, a brand new year. And welcome to the first episode of the year of the Saturday Spotlight with your boy, the one, the only, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, Jeffrey Rochelle. And welcome to tonight's episode of the Saturday Spotlight, again, which is the first episode of the year. Tonight, we talk to author A. Paige Turner. We talk to author A. Paige Turner and his book, The Emancipation of Limits. But before we do that, we're going to get into how the holidays and the week capped off. So let's get started. So how was everybody's Christmas? Man, mine was kind of interesting. I lost my grandmother. And we just buried her on this past Monday. So that kind of took a lot out of me. And then I was already on vacation, but I lost my grandmother. And I just want to say to everybody that gave me well wishes and all the calls and everything, thank you. I appreciate it so much. I'm really not that close to my father's side of the family. And in fact, it was 12 years since I actually saw my father on Monday at my grandmother's funeral. It's been 12 years since I've seen him. So that was a very emotional moment, but got a chance to see my father. Didn't get too much of a chance to talk to him, but I got a chance to sit and be with him as we celebrated the life of my grandmother, Lola Rochelle. So again, I want to say thank you to everyone that sent me well wishes and condolences on last week as we buried her. I really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. But in spite of that, did y'all get what y'all wanted for Christmas? I want to say I'm all Bath and Body worked out. If anybody that personally knows me knows that I love the men's section at Bath and Body Works, I've substituted that for regular cologne. So needless to say, the people that have gotten me gifts, it was either Bath and Body Works or a bottle of wine. So I was kind of grateful for my Christmas. It was what I wanted it to be. I believe I got everybody that I was supposed to get something for in my immediate family, everything that they wanted. So Christmas was pretty cool, and then the New Year was pretty cool. I've been at home since Monday, so it's been a blessing to be off and have vacation time. It didn't go fast, and it didn't go too slow. Usually I complain about the way my vacation goes, but it went pretty decent, and I can say I'm really ready to go back to work. But I had a good vacation. I rested up. My words are getting jumbled. Well rested up, and I'm ready to go back to work. And I actually am hoping for good news from God with my job. I'm sitting on some good news, but I'm hoping that this good news manifests this week that I've been told with my job, because I got some prizes and stuff in store. So overall, looking for a good, decent 2021. I know we've all been through 2020 was a difficult year for all of us. So 2021 is here. And like me, I know everybody else is kind of ready for the good and kind of ready for this COVID to end. And it's just like a never ending thing. It's one thing, another vaccine. They talking about this, the vaccine, that was the vaccine. So it's like, when does it end? And I will kind of be glad when it does, so I can get back out to the traveling, because I will be 40 this year. And I plan on doing it big, just like anybody else when they turn 40. It's, you know, a big milestone, 40. I don't look a day over 28, is what I've been told. I am looking forward to turning 40 this coming November. So I'm looking forward to getting back out and traveling because I haven't went anywhere since I went to Mexico in 2018. So I'm looking forward to getting back on the plane and doing something. But what are some of y'all goals and expectations for 2021? I'm not really looking forward to anything spectacular, but just having a healthy life, continuing to reach my goals that I've chosen for myself, and just to be in the land of living, because we lost so many people in 2020, and it's just a blessing to be here and to be alive and to be in the land of the living every day. I take no moment of waking up and breathing, breathing breath into my life from God every day, because it could be worse. It really could. We've lost a lot of people. We lost a lot of celebrities in this past year, and it's just, I'm just glad to be here every day. I take every day one day at a time. I don't live in the moment. I'm just here. I'm just glad to be here, I should say. And I never, take for granted anything that, I do or whatever, because life is short and we could be here today and gone tomorrow. But what are some of y'all goals for this year coming up? Like, have you set any type of goals for yourself? Are you not setting any goals because you think you kind of cursed from 2020 doing that and you don't want to do it in 2021? I know a lot of people saying, don't say this my year, don't say that, blah, 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 but acknowledge every year to be your year. I have to go up against the grain when people have been saying that by saying you shouldn't say that this is your year, 2021, because 2020 we had all these problems. No, I don't think 2020 had anything to do with anybody saying that this is my year. It's just, unfortunately, we were in a pandemic, it happened, and this is where we are now. But you should never, never set your goals aside and say, this is not my year. Every year should be your year to focus on a new you, to focus on getting a better you. And whatever it is that you're trying to strive to achieve, that should be something that you should be accomplishing for that year. I know I set out, like I said, I wrote up and I turned the board over to do my year of 2021 goals, but I set out and had 11 goals for 2020. And out of those 11 goals, I only accomplished, maybe three of them. And that was so funny because the reason it happened was because the pandemic hit for most of them. But I was happy that I at least got three of the 11 done because they were major goals that I was looking to achieve. So I'm looking forward to, setting up some goals for this year and then just, accomplishing them. I've already accomplished one. And my next one is to finish my sixth book and to have that published by the summer. And then I have two books under my belt. And as you all know as well, I'll be taking a break from writing, because I'll have six books all together. But I'm taking a break from writing to concentrate on the marketing aspect of book selling. I have six books. I've sold a lot out of those six books. My second book, which is an award-winning book, is my moneymaker. My fourth book is my moneymaker when I do book events and things. But I still feel like I'm not accomplishing that goal of being a household name with the books that I have, as far as with readers and people knowing who I am. So I want to concentrate this year, which is a goal. I want to a little bit more and having people saying, well, I got to get your book, Jeff. I got to read your book, Jeff. I heard that book was good, Jeff. You won an award for that book, Jeff. There's no reason why I shouldn't have that book on my shelf, Jeff, and I like to read. So that's one of the things that I want to accomplish for 2021 is marketing, the marketing aspect of, selling my books, because I wrote six books, but it's like, okay, who knows about these six books? And I have my own little fan base. Everybody, when you get to writing books and you get your own little fan base, I'm not taking away from that. But I want to increase my reading fan base and for people that, that love to read, to say, hey, I got to get Jeff's book if I don't have it. So I want to concentrate more on the marketing aspect. So that is one of my goals. Also, another one of my goals is to get out and mingle a little more, socialize. But I don't have a social life. I work. And I write, and I try to mix in working out as well, too. But I don't have a big social life, so I'm trying to, this year, once the COVID kind of lifts, get out and mingle a little bit more, hang out, not in no, where I'm not supposed to be, but just at a good social gathering, just to get out and mingle a little bit more. So that's, another goal I want to accomplish. So if you want to say, I'm giving you my goals, you can say that right now, I'm giving you my goals. So those are some things that I want to accomplish this year. And then also, each month I will come to you guys with a book of the month. So this month's book of the month is Midnight, which is by Sister Soulja. So if you're not reading anything or if you haven't read anything by Sister Soulja, go and grab Midnight. I will be receiving my copy tomorrow. And like I said, every month I'm going to have a book of the month for you guys to read. And this month for January of the new year is Sister Soulja's book, Midnight. So if you have not checked out Sister Soulja's book, Midnight, and you're not reading anything or you're getting ready to finish reading something, check out Sister Soulja's book, Midnight, because it is my book for the book of the month of January. And then also Health is Wealth, Health is Wealth. Are you taking time out to do at least, if not 45, 30 minutes of some kind of workout regimen, being it jumping jacks, sit-ups, push-ups? I know it's kind of hard to get into the gym, but health is wealth. And some people like me love to eat, love that greasy food, but you got to have a maintained habitat on it. And what I'm saying is either it's a lifestyle change or whether you want to stop it, or if you feel like you can't, maintain the way you're not eating every day, but make sure you're working out. Because us in the African-American community especially, we have so many problems, so many health problems, diabetes, high blood pressure, hypertension. This comes from all that good food we like to eat, that McDonald's, that Popeyes, the regular restaurants, Whataburger, White Castle, Crystals, Pizza Hut, whatever pizza place, whatever gyro place is in your area, whatever chicken place is in your area. We love these foods, but they are not good for us. And as we get older, we definitely have to maintain and get some kind of cap on what we eat and how we eat and just what we're doing as far as our body, because our body is our temple and we should be working it out on a consistent basis. Because if you don't take care of your body won't take care of you. So I also preach health as well. So if you're not doing at least 30, 40 minutes or something, do 30 minutes or something, but take the time out. And if you're not doing it every day, take at least every other day, but take the time out to do some kind of healthy workout regimen. Limit what you eat and watch what you eat. Drink a lot of water. Water's good for you. Fruit's good for you. That candy and stuff, when you at the candy machine, you can substitute that for going to the store and packing you a thing of fruit. I know I was doing that at one point. Instead of standing my vending machine at my job, I would pack fruit in a thing and take that and eat that and substitute for it. Crackers, I would take crackers and, you know, substitute eat that for it. You got to limit what you eat it. And it's like, I know my little sister does Chipotle, and she does the veggie bowl instead of getting meat. I want to try that because something, and it was kind of good to not have the meat on there, but to just eat the rice and the lettuce and stuff like that. So health as well. I preach that to you guys. So that's one of the things that I definitely, you know, incorporate as well too this year, because I'm on the ball of it. I got to drop some weight, trying to drop some weight by a certain period. So health is wealth, you all. Health is wealth. So with that being said, this show is sponsored by Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana. And they're located at 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. And they're open to 10 p.m. tonight. Their hours of operation are Sunday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can call your order in, 219-951-0695. You can pick up or order online or get delivered through DoorDash, visiting gary.beggarspizza.com. That's the new Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana. I went to school with both of the brothers that own it, Quentin and Jonathan Harris, Quentin Marcel Grant and Jonathan Harris. I went to high school with them, and they own that Beggar's. And it's located at 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. And that number for them is 219-951-0695. And Mickey's on Stony, located at 8126 South Stony Island in Chicago, Illinois. They're the home of the famous jerk fries and salmon burger and the Mickey's Classic Burger. You can call in your order at 773-902-2800 or get it delivered. You know, with the COVID, they either calling in curbside or getting your order delivered to you. And they're open till midnight tonight, and that's Mickey's on Stony on the southeast side of Chicago. They're located at 8126 South Stony Island, and their number is 773-902-2800. And Raise the Bar, Raise the Bar. And you all know who's the owner or co-owner of Raise the Bar. That is Jennifer Coles. I used to work for her mother, Cherry Coles, at the bank years ago. Very nice lady. She has gone on to glory to be with the Lord. But Jennifer, her daughter, is running for mayor of Markham, Illinois. So punch Jennifer Coles for the next mayor of Markham, Illinois. And she either co-owns or owns Raise the Bar. And Raise the Bar is located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. And their hours of operation are Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. They're open Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And they're closed on Sunday to Tuesday. And that's due to COVID. Right now, they're only having one person pick up delivery or curbside, or you can come in and grab your order through Uber Eats. They have daily specials. You can call ahead to see what it is that they have for that day. Their sweet shop is open every day that they're open. And they also do catering, and they also make sweets. So that's Raise the Bar, located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. Their number is 708-566-4088. Again, that number is 708-566-4088. That's Raise the Bar, located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. And Pop Culture Popcorn, home of the 50-plus flavors of popcorn. So not only do they have the butter popcorn, the cheese popcorn, the caramel, they got a jerk chicken popcorn, jerk popcorn. They got a caramel corn popcorn. They got 50-plus flavors of popcorn. And they're located at 509 West 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois. Their hours of operation are Saturday and Sunday, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. They're closed Mondays and Tuesdays. And that phone number over there is 708-825-9015. Family friend Amos Gardner owns that corn. Been a friend of family for a long time. So check him out. They're located at 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois. Their hours of operation, again, are Saturday and Sunday, Monday and Wednesday, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., and they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. That's Pop Culture Popcorn. Their number is 708-825-9105. Okay, so that is my announcements for this moment and time. So, as I stated again, this month's book that we will be reading is Midnight by Sister Soulja. So if you have not checked out a book to read for the month, if you are not reading anything for the month, or if you are finishing up a book to read for the month and you need a book, I say you need a book to read for the month and you're finishing up a book and you have not checked out anything by Sister Soulja, please check out Midnight by Sister Soulja, because that is the book that I am reading for the month. And as I stated, I will always check, have a book to read and chat about a book to read for the month. I'm trying to do that every month on the show as well. And then also, any authors that are listening, I am taking authors for February slots and March slots. So if any authors that are interested in wanting to be a part of the Saturday Spotlight for a weekend interview, you can contact me through my inbox. I'm author Jeffrey Rochelle on Facebook.com, and you can inbox me so I can give you further information about being on the show. But I do have some March and February. February and March, I should say, some slots open. So if you authors are interested, or any authors that are interested, anybody know any authors that are interested and wanting to be on the show, you can inbox me through my inbox, author Jeffrey Rochelle at Facebook.com. I am looking to take authors for February and March. And then also, I'm looking to branch out to do any book events. So if anybody knows about any book events, anything of that nature, let me know. I want to bring on also, you know, people that are doing book events to interview. And so I created this show to get out information about indie authors, authors that wrote books, anything that deals with the literary industry. I'm all about talking about it on my show and bringing it on. So that's why I created the Saturday Spotlight, because I'm an author as well. But before I was an author, I was a reader. So this is why my passion for doing this show, and this is my second year doing it now, has been so big, because we don't really have too many author interview shows. We don't know who, you know, authors are. So this is my platform, presented with other authors on it as well, to talk about their book and talk about who they are. So that's why I created the Saturday Spotlight. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in author A. Page Turner. And he has the book Emancipation of Limits. And I'm going to hear from this brother, talk to him. The book seems very, and I didn't have a chance to pick it up as well, but I will be adding it to my reading list. But I'm very, very, very excited about interviewing this brother. He is the only brother that I'm doing this show. I've gotten more females, but I'm kind of glad when I reached out to him and he said yay and not nay that he would be on the show. And I'm kind of excited about it, because I believe this is his first book. I know he's going to get on and talk about it in a second, but I believe this is his first book, and he's very excited about it. I see him posting about it a lot, and the book looks very, very interesting. So, Saturday Spotlight, without further ado, let's bring in author A. Page Turner. A. Page Turner, Good afternoon. Well, good evening. And how you doing, my brother?
Hey, brother, what's going on, man? I'm good. I'm good.
What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. First off, I want to say, man, my condolences to you and your family, man. I know how it is to lose a grandparent. So, you know, I just hope the family heals real quickly and, you know, celebrate her with the rest of your life.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. Really appreciate that. Like I said, it was a real big blow, and we weren't expecting it. But I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
No problem.
All right. So now we want to know who you are. Who is A. Paige Turner? We want to know it all, bro. Who you are, what inspired you to write, where you're from. Just let it all out. Just want to know who you are, what made you write. Just go ahead and tell us who you are and all that good stuff.
All right. I appreciate it. A. Paige Turner is my author name. So before the authorship, my government name is Richard Turner, right? Born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. Man, joined the military at 19 years old. Basically, I was on my way to a college game. I played college basketball, and I got held at gunpoint, right? Wrong place, wrong time. So my uncle said, hey, need to get you off the streets because the good guy always, you know, end up getting killed, right? So I joined the Navy. I did 8 years in the Navy, and then I crossed over to the Army to become a warrant officer. And I did 20 years in the Army. I retired February of 2019, and I made history when I retired. So I'm the first African-American to reach the rank of CW5 in the Transportation Corps since its existence of 1942. So once I made that feat, you know, I had nothing else to prove, so I retired, took a job working with the Special Operations Forces as a logistics planner, and I did that for about a year, and then COVID hit, and I was stuck in the house. I was bored, so that's when A. Paige Turner was created. So I just wanted to write a book that was that had something to do with Black Wall Street to celebrate it, and I wanted to add the entertainment aspects to the book, and I came up with The Emancipation of Limits.
Awesome, bro. Awesome, man. Congratulations on, you know, being the first African American with the CW. That's a big accomplishment. And then I didn't know you was from Chicago, too. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Born and raised.
Oh, wow. What part?
Southside, man. I went to St. Killian Elementary on 87th and Aberdeen, and then I went to Leo on 79th and St.
Okay. Okay. Is that Englewood?
No, not quite. It's just on. It's on
okay.
The south. Yeah, it would be Englewood. Then I went to Kennedy King Junior College when it was on 69th and Wentworth, and that's when I got held at gunpoint. And from that, you know, I joined the military. So, yeah.
Oh wow! Unfortunately, with the circumstances on that, sorry to hear that. But wow, bro, I didn't know you was from Chicago. Okay, cool. Okay, so your book, The Emancipation of Limits, you said it's a Wall Street book set with a little kind of like a what made you, I guess you kind of said it, but I kind of want to hear it again. What made you want to write the book? Like what inspired you to, you know, write it?
Well, COVID, for one, kept me stuck in
okay.
the house. And I want to write a book that commemorate, you know, the success of Black Wall Street, right? You know, back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, Black Wall Street was a very enriched Black community that had businesses, schools, they had everything popping, right? So as the opposite said that we couldn't do, Black Wall Street was a proof that we could do. So I wanted to do something to recreate, and I wanted to recreate Black Wall Street and add a little entertainment to it. So the book is The Emancipation of Limits. It's a three-book series written in reverse chronological order. So I wrote the last book first, and then I'll finish the rest. I'm actually working on the next book. But this book is about a character who wants to recreate Black Wall Street, but he did it through money seeded from the drug trade. So this book basically details that he's successful. He has the Black community, you know, on and popping. The Black dollar stays in the neighborhood. not 6 hours, but now 10 days. So he reinvented Wall Street. Now he wants to get out of the drug trade, but his connect won't let him out. So he's doing things around him to keep him in. He's seeking out his vulnerabilities, and he's using it against them to keep it in. So this is what this book is about. It is a very, very good book. I had over 20 people who I do not know reviewed it, and they all said it is a Netflix series waiting to happen. So the book is just the foundation. The goal is the series on TV that people can watch it.
Okay, cool. And you said it's a 3-part series, and you started with the last book first, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, was it the events that made you start from the back to go to the front, or is just, you know, you just want to chronologically write it like that, I should say?
I did it as a challenge to myself, right, because, you know, I left the door open to write another book after this. But I wanted to get the readers that are so caught up into the characters that they wanted to know, I mean, how did he get started in this? What took place for him to get into this? And then I'm going to go back even further to when his uncle was you know, running the street. He was a street lord, and he basically joined his uncle's organization at a young age up until he joined the military. So I just want to go in reverse chronological order to see if I can capture the audience's attention enough to want to read backwards and see how everything originated. So just a challenge to myself.
Okay. And then after this series, do you plan to continue like a second series part, or this is just going to be only series book you're going to do? You may do something different. Like how are your as far as your writing goes in that area?
Something totally different. You know, I'm going to finish up the Emancipation of Limits series, and then I want to do sci-fi. I want to do black stories within the sci-fi realm. I think that's kind of like untapped, and the things that I would like to do hasn't been touched yet. So I just want to just bring a different variation to my writing. My writing style is very vivid, like you're sitting mm-hmm. down watching a movie. So that's what I want to bring to the game. I want to do, you know, urban fiction. I want to do sci-fi. Then I'll probably skip over to doing Love Chronicles. And then I'll just probably stay in that realm until, you know, I find something else that I feel that would challenge me.
Okay. Cool. So with the Emancipation of Limits, you said you had 20 people to review it so far. Like, with this being your first book, like, how was that feeling, bro, when you saw that, like, 20 people reviewed it? Was it, like, you were, like, really excited about it? Like,
I would have to say that I knew, you know, I know what I have, you know, okay. And I never knew. I always had a talent for writing, but I never knew I had a talent for writing books, right? So this book is about 102,000 words. I wrote it in 4 months and 2 weeks.
Okay.
So, you know, okay. The talent, I think, is there. I think from the reviews that I have, it's there. And I don't know if you've seen the actual book trailer, but the book trailer is done, you know, professional. It looks like you're sitting in a movie theater watching a preview, waiting for your movie to start. It's very professional. We filmed it in Atlanta. We did a casting call for actors and actresses in Atlanta, and it took us 16 hours to complete. You know, you can find the trailer on my website at apageturner.com, or you can look mm-hmm. me up on Facebook at a.pageturner on Facebook, and you can review it. So I have two trailers. One's a 30-second version, and one's a 3-minute and 44-second version. And I put it out on Facebook, and the 30-second version right now is hitting about 40,000 views. And the 3-minute version is right about 20. So, you know, it's out there, and people are loving it and liking it. So, you know, just doing something different and just trying to be a trailblazer.
Okay, cool. I'm going to definitely have to check it out because I didn't even know you had a trailer for it. Wow, okay. I'm going to have to check that out when I get off the call with you and look at that because I didn't even know it was a trailer for the book. Okay.
Yeah, it's real nice. It's real nice. You should check it out. It's real good.
Okay. Okay. And I'm just jotting this little notes down, taking out. So when you started, bro, was it for you to get, like, published in ink? Like, how was the publishing process for you? And are you under contract or are you indie? But my first question, how was the publishing process for you as a whole? Was it easy? Was it hard? Like, what did you experience when you first started, you know, putting a book together and everything?
Well, I would say that it was really easy for me, right, because I am self-published. I am venturing the 100% entrepreneurship of authorship, right? So I had traditional publishing companies reach out to me, but I just did not want to give up the percentage they was asking for. I felt there was too much. I was going to put my book on Amazon. I felt they was asking too much to use their platform. So my book is only being sold on my website. So I have ebook. It's good for Apple and it's good for Kindle. I have paperback and I also have a hardback cover books. So, you know, I'm doing it 100% myself. So, you know, it was a learning curve. You know, you wrote a book and then you got to figure out, how do I get it out there? How do I get people to, you know, to notice it? Because there's so many authors out there that do good work. So I separated myself from having a very good book trailer. I think that the story that I have is pushing black unity and black power. The book, Emancipation of Limits, is basically, you know, emancipation means free and limits, you know, so we are free from limits. So the character in the book wants to remove the ceiling from anything that we do as black people, right? Because we're oppressed by education, job opportunity, you name it. So this character basically want to open up that ceiling and said, hey, there's no limit to what we can do as a people. So the underlining message to the book is about black unity and black movement, that we can all get together on a common goal and push to the finish line. You know, the drug trade and all that, just the entertainment piece of it. But the underlining message to the book is, you know, we as black people, we are one with the universe. And when we put our minds together on one common goal, there's nothing that can stop us. So I would say the entrepreneurship of being self-published to me was fairly easy because you have Google and I have other people out there who were, you know, giving me advice and helping me push through to get to the finish line. And it was a very good learning curve. You know, I had to hire an editor. I had to hire a book cover guy and find a company that would be able to print the books. But, you know, I just wanted to step away from the traditional aspects of, you know, being under contract because I want to be able to reap, you know, the benefits and not give up 75% of my profits to someone.
Catch you on that. And definitely you said something with the whole, I like how you selling your books on your site opposed to Amazon, because everything that you profit from the book coming to you and you're not giving Amazon a percentage as well too. And I'm one of those authors that's giving Amazon a percentage. So I applaud you on that, bro. I learned that from because I know how that goes with that percentage that you got to get Amazon when you sell a book. And that's why I try to grab so many of my copies and sell them myself. But I'm definitely trying to set a website up like you so I can sell them per se there, because a lot of people there go to Amazon and bad. And it's like you said, it's like, I want to see the percentage of that when I'm doing myself. So kudos to you on that, bro. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah,
no problem. So, I want to say with the whole, like, who's your family, everybody's behind you, like when they, you told them you were writing this book, were they excited about it? You know, how was everybody in your family? Well, how was their whole attitude when they said you were writing the Emancipation of Limits, when you told them that? Like, was everybody behind you? Did you have anybody saying no, don't do it? Like, how was that experience?
Well, no one knew, right? So what I wanted to do was finish the book and then, you know, mail it to my immediate family, right? Just a surprise in the mail. But my daughters was, you know, they was being nosy on my Facebook page, and they seen me start posting stuff, and then, you know, the word got around like a brush fire. But, you know, everybody's behind me. You know, I had, you know, my book just got out of pre-sales. But I had a lot of family, friends, and a lot of people who I don't know already purchased the book. So, you know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I put a lot of money into it, and I'm starting to, you know, gain some of that money back. But I actually didn't write for money. I wrote because I was bored and I just enjoyed doing it. So when I started letting people peek in, you know, just to see if I can get some feedback on what I was writing, and it was like, man, you got a serious talent for this. This book is really, really good. So, you know, the more I start writing, the more I started looking into the business aspect of authorship. And, you know, here I am, you know, just, you know, you've seen the way I started just on a Word document, you know, with, you know, a couple pages, and then I just built on it every day. And like I said, I finished this book in 4 months and 2 weeks. So, you know, I can say that this is probably my second or third biggest accomplishment besides my daughter's making history, and the book would be the third.
Have you ever done any marketing yet, as far as any book events, or has it just been the sales from the your website? Have you started to branch out to do those, if you haven't done any?
Well, I listened to you talk earlier, and you were saying that, you know, hey, I got to start marketing, right? Marketing, mm-hmm. to me, you know, a lot of people say that writing the book is hard. That was easy for me. The hardest part to me is marketing, promoting, right? So you get on Facebook, and there are thousands of authors out there that's trying to push mm-hmm. their book. So if you're on a certain Facebook page and you have, you know, 100 authors on there, and someone says, hey, I need a book to read, before you can react, it's already 120 comments on there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like you just kind of get lost. So I said, you know, whenever I do anything, whether it's playing basketball, being in the military, or writing books, I put 130% into it. So I have a team. So I hired a marketer, I have a publicist, and I have a website person that runs it for me. I mean, I don't know marketing. I didn't go to school for it. I mean, I can sell anything, but to get the outreach that I need worldwide, I need a professional to do it. In order to get me into different magazines and on different platforms around the world, I need a publicist. So, like I said, writing books is only the foundation. I want to generate enough funds that I can do a series, and I would like to finance it myself. So in order for you to get the word out, you got to get the people who knows that business. I don't know the business. I don't know what my – but, you know, I got a great team. And I think probably within a year or two, you're going to be seeing this on TV. And I'm getting sales just off of just word of mouth and just me talking to people here and there. But once they get engaged or heavily engaged into getting this book out there, that you'll see it on TV.
Okay, awesome. Definitely. So are you looking at like the Netflix era too? Like I know a lot of authors, they do their books on Netflix. Are you looking in that area too to put it out there as well, like into one of those Netflix movies?
Well, I'm looking at different things because you have a lot of people who's getting these streaming networks for, you know, black TV that's mm-hmm. out there, and they're looking for content. So I would love to help a black-owned network generate millions of dollars, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, FUBU, right? For us, by us. So,
right.
you know, I hire African-Americans. I am very proud of my culture and where we come from. So I try to stay within the linen of the African-American culture if I can. But if Netflix or Stars or HBO offer me, you know, a certain amount of money, of course, you know, and then I can take that money and then I can do what the character in this book do and give back to the community.
Right. See, that's kind of what kind of caught my ears to definitely pick this book up, because you got a character in the black community that's giving back, like the Black Wall Street, where it was. Definitely, bro, that has caught my attention to pick up this book. And definitely I know it's gotten what's gotten everybody's attention to read your book. So I definitely see greatness in you coming forth with doing, show on the TV or whatever the case may be, because with just hearing about the Black Wall Street, that caught my interest to really want to pick this book up now and read it.
Well, it's kind of different, right? So what drug dealer do you ever know that cares about the community? They're usually for themselves or the people around them, right? So he has a different concept. And then he has a military background. So his thought process on the way he conducts business and the way he moves is totally different, right? So he wants to better his community, and his team is all on one accord. So one thing that my book has, it has very strong Black woman leads in it, right? Not the stereotypical stuff you hear from, our sisters, attitude and so on and so forth, or strippers or whatever. They are very strong. I'm trying not to give away the characters in the book, but they're very strong. And without them, the character could not be successful, right? Because the saying, hey, behind every great man or every good man is a great woman. So I wanted to keep that concept. And every book that I ever write is going to have a strong Black female character. And, the sci-fi book that I write is going to have a very strong, leading Black female character. So I just want positive image of our women displayed in our books and not what we see on TV.
Okay. And is this female character in Emancipation of Limits, is this like his wife, girlfriend, or one of the characters of such? I know he said it's a few, lead Black women. Is one of those like his wife, his girlfriend, is that one of the characters in the book?
Could be. I don't want to give too much away, but the women are very strong positions, I would say that. And I would say that they are, without them, this movement wouldn't be possible. So there are so many different elements. This book has about 38 characters in it, and some make it through the end, some don't, right? I mean, it's, Richie, he's for the greater good. So he'll take out 10,000 to save 100,000, and he'll take out 100,000 to save a million, right? So his goal, by any means necessary, is to liberate his people of any kind of oppression that has been given us, to us for over 400 years. So one thing I like about the book is it goes back in time to when he was a kid and how he got started. It goes back in time to when he was in the military. So it always reflects and it always pulls from the past, which will then string all the books together, right? So the reverse chronological order idea actually came from Star Wars, right? So George Lucas, he went in with 6 movies, and they told him, hey, you need to pick the best 3 and shelve the other. So, he picked 4, 5, and 6. Nope, he picked, 4, 5, and 6, and then they went in reverse. So I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I wanted to see if I can do it in order to engage the readers that make them want to go back in the past and find out more about the characters. And I believe they will. I believe that, my author name is A. Page Turner for a reason. Because whatever book you read that I write is going to be a page turner.
Awesome. That's definitely unique. I like that. A. Page Turner. Definitely, bro. Definitely. So let me ask you this, bro. I always ask everybody, giving advice to new authors, what would you say to a person that's wanting to write a book and they come and tell you, hey, I'm getting ready to write a book. What kind of, information could you give me, inspiration could you give me? Like, what are 3 things that you would tell them that's getting ready to write a book that they need to have to know to be successful in publishing this book?
Okay. I would say the first thing I would tell them is to just start writing. Don't worry about grammatical errors. Don't worry about sounding crazy when you write. Get the idea on paper, right? That's what the editor is for, right? To make sure that your ideas flows clearly, right? That's the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is use an editor. I thought that I'm really good in the English language. Let me tell you, when she started finding my mistakes and everything, I was like, man, this is like, I thought I was a lot better than this. But that's what she does. You know, that's what editors do. They make sure that you are speaking clearly and you are sticking to the storyline and not going all outside the box. That would be, I would say that's 1.5. 2, figure out real quick what you want to write about, what genre you want to go into, and only write what you know about. Don't write what you do not know about, right? So if you know how to write self-help books, don't go into sci-fi if you don't have a real understanding on how sci-fi works. Stick to what you know. I also would say figure out how you want to be published. Is it traditional or is it self-published? And find out the in and outs. And don't go with the first person that throws you a contract. Look for several different avenues. And don't be discouraged if they say no. You know, that no might really mean not yet. So just keep trying. And the last thing I would say, know how your story is going to end, right? Do reverse writing. So I knew how my story, I wanted to end. So then I just kind of, I just walked it backwards from the end to the beginning. So I knew that, hey, this is where I want to go. So this is how I need to start. And, you know, I just did it differently. You know, when I wrote, you know, this book, I never wrote a novel. So when I started and I gave it to someone to review, they said it was like a screenplay. And I was like, what do you mean? You said, where you're writing it is like a screenplay. So, mm-hmm. you know, they gave me a couple pages of what a novel looked like, and I read it, and I said, okay, I got it. And, you know, I did it. And I gave it back to them. They was like, wow, you know. So I would say those things – is what's needed to get started. And don't quit. You know, everybody gets writer's block. Everybody gets stuck. Take a break. Take a walk around the block. Watch a movie. Do something and get back to it. So those are things that I would put out there for inspiring authors or people who's already written books. I mean, everybody have their process. I'm not a book reader. I'm a movie goer. Right, my mom been taking me to movies ever since I was 5 and 6 years old. So yeah, I've seen the Poltergeist and The Exorcist, all those movies that had me all scared to go to sleep at night. But that helped my imagination. And plus, 28 years in the military, I've been around the world in Ayaya. So I have different experiences with different cultures. So it was really easy for me to be able to put a story together with characters that I have known since I was a kid, or who I've met in the military, that I know how they react in certain situations and actually use their likeness in the book and give them different names. So I think with that aspect, that's how I wrote the book so quickly. Some people would take 2 years to write a book at this size. It took me 4 months and 2 weeks. And I think that I just have the talent for it, and I'm going to keep writing books, and I'm going to, you know, the universe will allow me to go to the big screen. So, you know, that's the shoes I'm selling.
Awesome. Awesome. Definitely hear that, bro. Definitely hear that. And what's coming up for you? I know you got the goal with the movie for the book and, you know, got that aspect going out there, but what's coming up for you for this year? Like, you doing any book events, doing any tours? What's coming up for you with you and the book itself too?
Yeah, you know, so my publishers have already had several different events that's lined up, anywhere from here to New York to Vegas, that I'm waiting to be featured in magazines, interviews, so on and so forth. So that's going on. I actually started the second book in this series called A Proclamation of a God. I actually started that January 1st. So I think I'll be totally complete with this book around June, July, manuscript, book in hand. And then I'll start on the third part in the beginning. The Reign of Marblehead is the last book, but the first one that should have been written in this series. So right now we're getting together with my retired Army buddy. He's a director, and we're going to do a 10-minute short on the Emancipation of Limits. So we're going to be filming that in the next couple months, then we're going to take that 10 minutes short, and then we're going to be looking for production companies to take a look at it and see if they show interest. If they don't show interest, then, you know, I've done well for myself, and I'll be financing this thing myself. So either way, it is going to move forward. So that's my 2021. I'll be extremely busy, you know, trying to get this dream out there.
Okay, cool. And the readers and listening in the listening world, bro, where can they reach you at? Like, where, if they want to pick up this book, as far as your website, all your handles, where can they reach out to you at?
All my handles is a.page, which is spelled P-A-J, Turner. That is on Instagram, and that's also on Facebook. The website is www.apageturner.com. Go to it. You can subscribe. Once you subscribe, I'll send you chapter one so you can, you know, get a rhythm and get a feel of how the book is going to be. You can go there. You can buy T-shirts, coffee mugs, and pens, and hoodies will be added this week. And,
Cool. Yeah,
you can get a hardback, sleeve, without sleeve, ebook, or you can get a paperback. It's all available to you. They do have books for signature that I'll sign and leave a nice little inspiring note, you know, to the person. And that's it. Hey, come out, buy a book. I guarantee you'll love it.
Okay. Awesome, bro. Well, I'm almost up to recap this interview, and I appreciate you coming out, bro. I appreciate you saying yay. Like, if when you were interested and wanted to be on the show, I'm glad you did, because this book seems very, very interesting. I'm very, very interested in reading it. It seems very interesting. And definitely, I see good things with this book because, like I said, from the plot from what you told me about with the Wall Street and the drug dealer that's turned to help the community, this is something that I know a lot of people that like to read stuff like this, especially us black males, because I know a lot of black males don't like to read, bro. I know you probably know that too. But something like this definitely will gain the black male attention to reading. Because I know when I write, it's like I have to write a certain way because they're like, well, I don't want to read that. That's not. But you got to give it a chance. But this definitely, bro, this Emancipation of Lemons, I can see a lot of my homies picking this book up and reading it, definitely. And I'm going to spread the word on it, too.
Yeah, the book is, how can I explain this? Because, you know, the trailer, you know, all the likes I get is probably about 75% guys, right? You see a bunch of men with guns in it and counting money and so on and so forth. But the book is really written for women, right? So it's kind of hard to say that, you know, a book about, you know, the drug trade is written for women. But the content inside the book, right, even, you know, the lovemaking scenes that I wrote, it is digestible for women. It's not raunchy. It's not using, you know, the regular words used for body parts. It's very soft and it's very intimate. And, you know, I had 16 females review the book, four males, because you're right, you know, we don't like to read, but each one of them was very appreciative of how I wrote the love scenes in the book and how intimate it was and how sensual that it was. And also, you know, black women leads in the book, very strong black women leads, and they go through things in this book that most black women go through. You know, they all have sons, they all have nieces and nephews that's out in the street, and, you know, and once they leave the door to go outside to hang with their friends, you know, anything can happen, right? And just in our community, you know, it's just sad that that's the way it is for us. So I just put a lot of elements in this book that can really resonate with black women, and I think they'll really appreciate the content that's in this book. So, you know, guys see the outside and they say, hey, you know, drugs, I'm like the video, but they might not necessarily get the book. They'll wait for the movie to come out. So I wrote the book because I know majority of my readers would be females.
Okay. Got you, bro. Okay. All right, bro. Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on tonight talking about the book. Definitely, you guys got to check out A Page Turner, The Emancipation of Lemons. Bro, I wish you all the much more success. good luck with the movie aspect of the book, and I definitely, definitely look forward to talking and chatting up with you soon, okay?
All right, brother. Hey, I appreciate your time. Appreciate your platform. I appreciate you as an author and an interviewer, man. Just keep doing it. Grow your platform. And, hey, I would love to come on again, man, and we can kind of chop it up after you read the book, and then we can really have some good conversation.
Most definitely, bro. I definitely look forward to bringing you back. Definitely.
All right, brother. Hey, appreciate you, man. And condolences go out to your family once again. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you so much, bro. I'll talk to you later. All righty. So there you guys have it. Tonight we had A. Paige Turner, The Emancipation of Limits. You can check out author A. Paige Turner at apageturner.com on Facebook or IG, www.apageturner.com. And also, if you can't find them on there, just go on my page, send me a DM or whatever, and I'll send this information out to you. But The Emancipation of Limits, that book seems very interesting. So you readers out there, go pick that up after you read Midnight by Sister Soldier. Because you know what? I'm going to probably make this Emancipation of Limits a book of the month, because I do want to check that book out and read it. But A. Paige Turner, thank you for coming on again tonight, bro. The Chicago brother, did not know he was from Chicago, but thank you tonight for coming on to the Saturday Spotlight. All right. Next week, we talk to my big sister, Joyce Brown. I have not seen Joyce Brown because I did the South Highland Book Fair with her and Rebecca Cole back in 2017, I believe, 2018. But we talked, no, I seen her before that. We met up at Starbucks. I think a couple of months or a year after that. But we talked to Joyce Brown. Joyce Brown, Chicago's own Joyce Brown, next Saturday night on the Saturday Spotlight. All righty, so I want to say have a good week. Have a good rest of the weekend. Always remember, what you do for Christ, and only what you do for Christ, is the only thing that matters and will last. Y'all have a good week. Have a good rest of the weekend. Have a good night. And I will see you guys next Saturday on the Saturday Spotlight. Good night.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle.